opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome, 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 one and all, to Cooking Like a Pro. Thank you for tuning in. This is Chef Cal, homegrown Redding resident, along
and
with
Mrs.
my
chef, yeah, also homegrown.
Yeah,
Redding
you're
resident.
Ma'am, my beautiful wife Krista sitting across from me. She is also homegrown, so we are from the North State. And again, you found us at Cooking Like a Pro on KCNR 1460 AM, 96.5 FM. And the number, if you'd like to call us down here, we have 530-605-4567. Again, 530-605-4567. And now, if they want to send us a question, they can do that as well, correct?
From your phone, you can text at cookinglikeapropodcast.net.
cookinglikeapropodcast.net. I am so glad that I have this beautiful wife that knows all this tech stuff, because we'd be dead in the water. So I want to start off talking about something, because I had just a great conversation yesterday with my stainless steel guy. We just call him the legend. Okay, I'm not sure what his real name is, but we call him the legend. And I had this because I did a video cooking in an aluminum pot. Okay, and that was a while back. I think it's on YouTube. But anyway, the challenge that you have with aluminum, and this is what we grew up with in the industry. Everyone had aluminum. Every restaurant you went into has aluminum. Most of them still have aluminum. The challenge, though, is they become potted or pitted, and they can leach. They'll leach into your food, you know, and it's something that you just don't want. These aluminum pots, aluminum, not good for you. It's not good for you. I guess if you really want some, you can chew on some aluminum foil, but it does leach into the food, and it's something you really shouldn't do. So what you want is stainless steel. And I found out some very interesting information about that. So when you go and you get your pots, you want stainless steel, and you want pots. Now we're talking about pots that you might cook a sauce in or a soup in. You want very heavy bottoms because you want it to cook evenly. You know, if you have a real thin pan where you burnt something, that's probably a fairly thin pan. So you want thick on the bottom, and then you want a stainless steel. And there's two different types of stainless steel that they make this out of. It's a 300 series, which is what you want, and a 400 series, which is what you don't want. And I learned the trick. He showed me the trick. The trick is a magnet. Because if it's a 400 series, which it's a different type of stainless steel, still stainless steel, but it has more iron in it. And a magnet will stick to iron. So if a magnet sticks to your pan, you don't want that. What you want is a 300 series, and which a magnet will not stick to, because it's fortified with nickel. And nickel's, you know, much stronger metal than iron is. So you go out there, get your pots and pans, bring your magnet, make sure that it does not stick to it, and you know you got a better, more durable stainless steel.
Now, what about all these like tri-ply type pots and pans where they even have copper in them for conduction? What are your thoughts on those?
Yeah, and they have, copper isn't bad for you. You know, I know that we used to drink out of copper cups, copper glasses. And copper is very beneficial. It has a lot of good health properties. So there's no problem with that. And then if you're cooking table side, they use the old French would be, and that's why I was trained when I came up, is using, in table side, using, copper pans, because they're super thin, but they have great
conduction, right?
Yeah, they conduct the heat and it spreads out. It's kind of like cooking with infrared.
So what about aluminum? I mean, aluminum foil, aluminum pans.
Aluminum foil. Okay. Well, how many folks out there, and go ahead and raise your hand, not if you're driving, have covered something with aluminum foil, especially something like lasagna. That's just a great you know, thing to look at, because lasagna generally will have a lot of tomato. Tomato is acid, and acid will eat through that aluminum foil. And you also want a thicker aluminum foil, but if you're going to cover something in foil, and trust me, this is the way to do it, first cover it in plastic. And I know my wife very much was surprised that I did that.
But it's got to be, it's got to be professional grade plastic.
Yeah. But I do it all the time. I'll cover with a really heavy duty saran wrap, and then I'll cover with foil. Bake it, and then just get those products off of there. Because we don't want to add any more. We got enough plastic in our water, our soil, and
but things are packaged, are packaged in aluminum cans. So how do you, deal with that?
Well, those are sealed on the inside. I mean, when you see something that's, you got some canned goods and they're from the Reagan administration and I would check them and open them up and see what they smell like. They smell like minerals, and then you probably got aluminum in there, but those are coated. You know, and that's why they put, expiration dates of, we could have bought Spam when we first got married, and it would still be, it'd still have 20 years on it
from
now.
With Twinkies on the side.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, we don't know how those are made. But anyway, when you're going out there and you're getting your saute pans, and I recommend, having a saute pan, something that's like a 6 inch is usually what you use for eggs. You can use, either 4 or 6 for eggs or for omelets. And you really want a good 12-inch pan. 12-inch pan is by far the most used pan in the industry, a 12-inch saute pan. Now, remember, we said saute means that the food, the word saute means to jump, like a frog jumps. So the food will jump in the pan so you can, flip it, keeping it close to the fire, but flip it as well. But then you want like a 1 quart, a 2 quart, a 4 quart, an 8 quart. So you got 4 quarts in a gallon. So you got a quarter gallon pot, a half gallon pot, a full gallon pot, and then 2 gallon pot. And those are what you want with handles. And that's what you use for, for making your soups and making your sauces.
Now, what about nonstick? Because the traditional nonstick is going bye-bye. They're saying now I'm seeing a lot of the ceramic coated nonstick.
Well, first talking about nonstick, the challenge with nonstick is that Teflon comes off.
Yeah.
Right? And you're eating it. It's in your food, especially, again, high acid, preparations.
Or if you use the wrong utensil.
And then you scrape it, and then you got even more of a problem. But the ceramics are a new thing, and they've just been out for a short period of time. And I know Ramsey's got a set, but I was looking at them down in Costco, and I'm not paying that much for a pan ever. But again, the ceramic as well, from what I understand now, and I've talked to the guy there for quite a while, the ceramic is fine as well. It's just, you just want to stay away from the aluminum. And make sure you have a magnet when you go out to get that. So you want some sauce pots, you want some soup pots, and you want some saute pans. That's really the main things. And then also look at your ingredients. Because if a magnet, sticks to your stainless steel fork, then that means it's got iron in it. So it's going to be more flimsy. If it doesn't stick to your stainless steel spoon or fork, then it's the 300 series. So it's nickel. So it's going to be a much more steady, utensil.
However, when it comes to magnets, if you are using an induction burner, they have to have a magnetic bottom. That's how they work. They've worked through a magnetic interface.
I highly recommend going with at least one infrared, container, or excuse me, not container, but, appliance in your house, because they heat evenly, but they heat up immediately. I mean, water will boil in a matter of seconds, and it's just because it's such a drastic heat, and it comes out, and it's very, very intense, and plus it's electric. So, like for us, we cook on propane, so we cook on gas, but we cook on the infrared quite a bit. And especially if you're, want to save some money on gas.
Yeah, well, and as we're moving towards, especially in California, there will be no more gas appliances if they can get away with it.
I mean, with everything going on in California, something's got to happen. I don't know. They might have us revert back to the Stone Age.
You can't get a glass lawnmower.
Wood utensils, for all I know, and yeah, we're going to be running from don't know. We won't get into all of that because it is a food program and a kitchen program and an industry program. So, you know, the stainless steel was something I wanted to make sure that I share. But we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back. If you'd like to give us a call again, 530-605-4567. This is Cooking Like a Pro, Chef Cal. We'll be back in just a moment.
Bacon and lettuce and homegrown tomatoes. Up in the morning and out in the garden. Get your ripe ones, don't get a hard one. Plant them in the spring, eat them in the summer. All winter without them's a culinary bummer.
Jones's Fort Gun Shop, serving Shasta County for over 50 years. It's a new year, and we are very excited about the new leadership for our nation. Jones's Fort is offering Hornady 5.56 NATO 75 grain tap precision ammunition on sale now for just $199 a case. That's right, $199 a case. This ammo delivers phenomenal performance for your AR-15 style rifle. Jones's Fort, serving all your firearm needs since 1962. And yes, Jones's Fort will pay for your ammo background check.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website at havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
Owners, landlords, and tenants trust Authority Property Management at 2663 Victor Avenue. They manage a variety of properties, including single-family homes, apartments, condos, townhouses, multifamily properties, and commercial properties. Authority Property Management offers full-time management, including finding and screening tenants, rent collection, financial reporting, and final walkthrough home inspections when they move out. Contact Authority Property Management today at 530-410-6085 and check out their website at authoritypm.com.
At Cornerstone Community Bank, you're more than just a customer. You're our friends, neighbors, the local businesses where we shop, and the restaurants where we dine. Your success strengthens our community. Come meet our amazing teams in Redding, Red Bluff, and our newest location in Anderson. And find out why we are more than banking. Cornerstone Community Bank, member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Welcome back to Cooking Like a Pro. Yes. A little flim flam.
Frim fram. Frim fram.
And happy National Bagel Day, by the way.
National Bagel Day. Oh, you know, you have to let us know ahead of time. You know, I had a bagel once. And it was a bagel shop, and since I'm going down a rabbit hole.
I'm about to get hungry, I can already tell.
This was up in Brandon.
Bandon.
Yeah,
Bandon, Oregon.
Bandon, Oregon, up there on the coast, and we went to this bagel shop, and I've never had a bagel that was this light. You know, usually eating a bagel is like, I don't know, some kind of, it's almost like eating rubber it's pretty, you know, I don't know, what's the word, cloggy or something? It's just dense.
Gummy,
yeah.
Well, because bagels are boiled first. They boil them in malt water.
Of course they are.
And, yeah.
Yeah. But this one wasn't. Remember how airy that was?
Yeah, and I tried to get the recipe from them, and they wouldn't give it to me.
Yeah.
I tried.
Can't remember the name of that place, but how many bagel shops can there be? It was right there on the, you know, on the wharf where everybody was walking by, and someone had recommended
it. I think
it was
just Bandon Bakery.
Okay, well, let's get back into chicken, okay? Because we were talking about chicken.
We're talking about chicken?
Yeah, well, I grabbed that Costco chicken. I mean, $4.99, it's a pretty good deal. Anyways, but you know, how much can you eat, right? When I get a Costco chicken, the first thing I do is I reach my hand, I open up the top, and then I reach my hand in there, and I rip off a thigh and a leg. And then I gnaw on it, because I'm a dark meat person.
When you get home, not at Costco.
Yeah, not at Costco or not in the car, but, you know, when I get home, because I just like dark meat. Dark meat has more fat. Fat is flavor. You know, white meat, it can dry out. But anyway, how often do you bring a Costco chicken home and eat all of it? I mean, there's, you know, three of us at home, and you know, it's just really, you know, probably would feed about six. So I thought, well, okay, all you folks out there that are getting these roasted chickens, whether it's from there or somewhere else, you're going to have leftovers. So what do we do with the leftovers? So one of the first things that came to me, and because I know we do this a lot, is like an Oriental chicken salad. You know, I know that Wolfgang Puck, who I got a chance to work with, kind of started that whole, he called it a chopped Chinese salad. And that was kind of where it was birthed, maybe a couple of decades ago or 25 years ago, whenever it was. But it was down in L.A., and that was the first place I'd ever seen it.
Down at Spago?
Yep. No, it wasn't Spago's. This was at one of his, he has a pizza line. You know, and I went in there, beautiful little restaurant, but it was, you know, kind of a lunch place and more casual. And it was fantastic, but it was, and it's really easy to make the dressing. You're really just looking at, a cup of rice vinegar, and then you got your sesame oil, salt, sugar, and maybe a little xanthan gum, tighten it up, and then a few drops of chili oil. So, I mean, get yourself a recipe. It's real easy. All those ingredients are very shelf stable.
And actually, if you want to cheat, mm-hmm. Newman's Asian ginger dressing is really good.
Yeah. Well, you know, I always stick with Paul Newman. I know he's gone, but so much of his dressings are charitable. It's a philanthropic, venture that he started that's been carried on, and it just the money goes to some great, great causes. So if you're going to grab a dressing, pay the extra, buck, but anyway, we'll have to research that at some point. But another one was chicken cacciatore. And while the chicken's warm, that's when you want to pull all the meat off of it.
So basically, when you bring a chicken home, uh-huh. eat it right then. And if you're not going to eat it right then, go ahead and pull it before it cools.
Yeah. Or whatever you end up eating and using, and then whatever's left, go ahead and pull it off while it's still warm. And then now you just have what we call pulled chicken meat. And you, again, you do a chicken cacciatore, you get yourself some olives and garlic and bell peppers and tomatoes, and you got a great idea. Throw some penne pasta or any type of, I like pasta with rigatoni is one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
Because rigatoni is got a big hole in the middle of it. And think about this. You get sauce inside the noodle and you get sauce on the outside of the noodle. So you just get more flavor. There's more surface area to be able to soak up that flavor. So that's a good one.
For anybody else that was homegrown around here, if you remember the Italian Cottage, mm-hmm. over on Hilltop, that's where I grew up with. They had the most fantastic chicken cacciatore with bubbly, ooey, gooey mozzarella cheese and Parmesan,
yeah, even put mushrooms
top.
In there.
Oh, it was so good.
But one of the key ingredients really is olives. That's one of those different kind of things that you'd put your green olives in there. Kalamata olives. Those are also good as well. But you can always make, a chicken soup. Just don't let the chicken go to waste. Okay, in our where we live, you don't want to give the chickens the chicken. Well, usually the dog would eat it before the chickens. Chickens are carnivores.
Yeah, they love chicken. Chickens love chicken.
Yeah, those girls are, they'll eat it. But anyway,
but when you break down chicken really quick, so mm-hmm. if we pull off all the dark meat, the legs, the thighs, mm-hmm. all the wing, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, pull the breast
would
off.
Would you just pull the whole lobe of the breast off if you're going to save it? Would you pull it completely?
I would cut it off. Okay. Yeah, get a thin, long, bony knife and cut it off because, then you can slice it for sandwiches, once it cools down, something like that.
And then save the carcass.
Save the carcass, make a good chicken stock, and now you got your chicken noodle soup, especially on, I'm pretty sure it's winter time. It doesn't seem like it outside, but,
according to the calendar, it is.
Yeah, or make yourself a nice bone broth, but don't throw that extra flavor in the garbage. Make sure that you utilize their total utilization.
And you can completely freeze chicken broth, chicken stock.
Yep, let it boil off. Just some onions. Use your bouquet garni, your parsley, bay leaf, and thyme, and use your mirepoix, your carrots, onion, and celery. Let it cook down.
But if you don't have a mirepoix, it's okay to just go ahead and just boil off the chicken and just at least capture that flavor.
Yep, capture the flavor.
You can go back and season that with vegetables later.
And then you got a great soup. Also, you can use that for a great sauce. Diced up chicken, you can use for chicken salad. Also, something like we had this really nice chicken barbecue chicken pizza. came up. I used to really like that one. But anything Asian, I mean, chicken chow mein, you can use it for a stir fry. But the idea is to get the is that you don't waste any chicken. And actually, we had a really popular dish, but we used a chicken breast on it. But it's a great flavor combination, and we call it, it was chicken Jerusalem. Chicken Jerusalem.
With artichokes?
Yeah. You know the three middle letters in Jerusalem? You know what they are?
Isn't it USA?
USA. I don't know. Maybe this is just coincidence. But anyway, the, chicken Jerusalem is, it's a cream sauce with artichoke and mushrooms. Saute with that, with your chicken. Oh, this is delicious. By far the most popular, chicken dish that I've made and by far the most abundant that I've ever made. Very popular.
Well, you could also take the pulled chicken breast and do just like you would a pulled pork sandwich. Just go ahead and toss the pulled chicken and some barbecue sauce and put it on a bun.
Yeah.
For a barbecue chicken
sandwich. Yeah. And, or you can do something open face with a nice chicken gravy on there.
Oh, there you go.
Right in the bottom. Chicken chili. There's another one. I was just going through our list of, we got like 1200 recipes in this app called Paprika, and I just plugged in chicken, and I just got a ton. So I just scribbled a few. Chicken crepes, when you dice the chicken up, making a chicken crepe. Crepes are super easy to make. It's a super simple recipe. You can make a crepe in a nice pan.
And that one is on the website.
Oh, is that on the website?
That one
the
is
crepes?
On the website. Yep, right, front
so
and center.
So where do they go to find that?
CulinarilyYours.net.
Culinarily Yours.
Culinarily Yours.
CulinarilyYours.
Yeah.
Culinarily.
And if you want to cheat, just go to chefcal.net or mrschef.net. All roads lead to the same place.
All roads lead to cooking like a pro. Let's see. Chicken in any kind of pasta or vegetables, if you're, you know.
Well, rice. Yeah. Rice is excellent with chicken, too.
Yeah. And puttanesca. I noticed there was a recipe in there for puttanesca, and that was one you put in. Mm-hmm. My puttanesca is different because the puttanesca is... The name comes from Italy, and it was a dish that the ladies of the evening would make for their company that would come over. And so it's using ingredients that are very local and staples in an Italian kitchen. So it's garlic, olive oil, red pepper flakes and capers, maybe some diced tomatoes and some kind of a pasta, whatever pasta you want with some chicken. But puttanesca, is always going to have garlic, your olive oil, red pepper flakes, and generally, you know, capers. And you can put parsley, a variety of things in there, but, you know.
How about something we make quite often, chicken tacos and chicken enchiladas?
Yep, yeah, anything Mexican. You know, the thing about chicken is you can go so many different directions because, what do they say? Well, it tastes like chicken. I mean, I don't care. I mean, you know, we used to cook frog legs. So people ask, what do they taste like? Well, it tastes like chicken and trout put together. You know, there's so many things that are, because people understand what chicken tastes like. So it's a great building point. You say, what's this taste like? Well, you've had chicken before, right? And you start there with something they understand and then just, you know, add ingredients to it from there.
Well, even if you don't want to go with an Asian chicken salad, you could do a chicken with bacon and blue cheese and go more of a ranch route.
Well, chicken is also something that's utilized in a Cobb salad. You know, and a Cobb salad, of course, it came. Cobb salad was actually originated in the Brown Derby restaurant. Brown Derby restaurant down in Los Angeles, famous restaurant back in the, you know, the 40s and give or take in that area, the 50s. It used to be very popular for all the stars, and that's where the Cobb salad came from. And you know, I remember researching it years ago and why they call it the Cobb. And Charlie Trotter gave the best explanation, and so I've always used his, which is when you get a Cobb salad, all the ingredients should be in rows. Your chicken, your bacon, your blue cheese, your corn, whatever ingredients you're using, they're in rows because corn comes in a row, and that's why it's called a cob.
That's a great idea, but I think it actually was named after the chef whose name was Cobb.
I never heard of a chef named Cobb.
Yeah, I got the Brown Derby cookbook. We'll have to look that one up.
I know you've got my Brown Derby cookbook.
Yes, I have it squirreled away.
Yeah, well, when you have 900 cookbooks, you're kind of stepping over them in our house. They're just literally, we could, you know, wallpaper the walls with cookbooks. But anyway, so there's a you know, yeah, leftover chicken, it's just a great component. Don't let it go bad. Dice it up. Freeze it in portions. However many, if you got two people in the family, if you're just one person, if it's three or five or six, you know, everyone needs about 3 ounces and just kind of weigh that out. And when you wrap it in plastic and then wrap it in freezer paper. You can put it in baggies if you want, but wrap it in freezer paper because freezer paper will keep that off flavor from the freezer, like freezer burn.
Now, last thing, when you go to reheat your chicken, do not reheat it in the microwave. You will have rubber chicken.
Yeah. And that's, well, maybe they want rubber chicken. If you want rubber chicken, that's the way you do it. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a moment. Again, Cooking Like a Pro, Chef Tao and Mrs. Chef. Back in a moment.
Bella notte, look at the skies, they have stars in their eyes on this lovely
bed. Are you looking to take your business to the next level? Don't let staffing issues or HR red tape stop you from growing. The most successful businesses are those that have mastered their HR and staffing needs, and they have done it with O2 Employment Services. Finding qualified help is harder and more expensive than ever. HR regulations are getting more and more complex and confusing. For over 20 years, O2 has been providing the foundation successful businesses need to grow, assisting employers with their HR, payroll, workers' comp, benefits, and staffing. Partnering with O2 gives you the expertise you need to manage your business and employees. Outsourcing your HR and staffing is no longer a luxury. It's a necessity for successful businesses, and it is more affordable than you think. Let O2 show you how we can help you reduce your HR complexities, hire the right talent, and get back to growing your business. Call O2 today at 530-223-4674 or visit us online at o2es.com.
Attention veterans, did you know that Shasta College and Simpson University have veterans resource centers to assist you in your educational pursuits? These centers offer a wide range of support services, including financial aid, tutoring, IT support, and more. We understand the unique challenges that veterans face and are committed to helping you succeed. Our experienced staff is here to help you navigate the college experience and achieve your academic and career goals. Don't let anything stand in your way. This message is brought to you by Senator Maurice Johannesson, former Secretary of California Veterans Affairs.
Happy New Year, Redding, from your friends at Black Bear Diner, reminding you that if you're looking for more food, more fun, and more family, this is the place to be. You can count on a warm atmosphere and deliciously fresh home-style food. It's the perfect spot for every generation, with something for everyone. Come for breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Black Bear Diner, 2605 Hilltop Drive, Redding.
Black Bear Diner.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore. When the world seems to shine like you've had too much wine, that's amore. Bells will ring, ting-a-ling-a-ling, ting-a-ling-a-ling, and you'll sing.
Welcome back. Welcome back. We've appreciate you tuning in to Cooking Like a Pro, and we'd like to thank our sponsor sponsoring us, you know, Cooking Like a Pro podcast, Charlu's Tap House. And as I mentioned last week, for the first time, they are, of course, located in the Shasta Gateway Shopping Center, about 10 minutes south of town, but they had just started this really cool idea, and it's going over great. You have kids that need a birthday party, they need to reach out to them. Go to charlews.com to get the information. But they have an Charlews Adventure Room, so it's a bouncy house, and they have an arcade, and the kids can make their own pizza. You make your own pizza, they bring the soda. It's kind of in the same complex in the room right next to them, a couple different packages and time slots available. But again, go to charlews.com, tell them Chef Cow or Mrs. Chef sent you. And, you know, we're always looking for that, you know, that, you got kids, you got a birthday, what are you going to do? You know, and let them take the challenge out of it. So I've been looking and talking about this here, about the number of ingredients that we're dealing with and trying to eat healthy. It's really a matter of just being aware of what you're putting in your body. And the FDA in the United States, our FDA has a total of 10,000 approved ingredients that can be in your food. 10,000.
Are there that many actually in existence?
Yeah. And to compare it, to give it some, you know, kind of a barometer, there's 700 approved in Europe.
Okay, 700 versus 10,000?
Yeah. And I know that, well, one of the things that they're doing now, finally, is the FDA, they're coming up with a ban for red dye number 3. I mean, these are all things that they're finding as they go through and study them, that they cause cancer. They can cause just a variety of things, these ingredients that have kind of snuck their way into our food.
Well, they haven't really snuck their way in because they're using marketing.
Well, they've been approved, yeah.
Visuals to sell us that something has to be yellow or something has to be red when in true nature they're not that color. Sure. But we have been drawn to things visually through marketing to these colors.
Yeah. I think it was you guys I heard it from, like, that the color blue can't naturally be created.
Yeah, yeah. That's one thing when we did in competition, you can never do blue because you can't naturally make the color blue. I mean, blueberries are purple, right? So, yeah, so stay away from blue. Anything that a judge would see that was blue, you just kick you right out of the place. So, but I think, again, it's we are what we eat, garbage in, garbage out. I mention that all the time. Just be aware of what you're eating. And I think a good, kind of parameters, if you don't understand it, you don't know it, what it is when you look at the list, then maybe don't eat it or look up and see what that is.
Well, as we start teaching people how to cook and look at ingredients, they really shouldn't have to go buy prepackaged boxed items that have been colored and have additives.
Yeah, I think the two main words that you're looking for here, folks, when it comes to, you know, preparing your food, preparing your meals, taking care of your family, the first one is processed. You want to get things that have the least amount of process. You know, like grinding wheat and then turning it into bread. Well, they're not adding anything to it. But if all of a sudden that's going to go to a warehouse somewhere or a distribution or, you know, manufacturing plant, then it's going to have preservatives added to it. And it's going to have, caking agents, and it's going to have all these different things that they need. And then very seldom are any of those things good for you. You want pure natural foods.
Because it takes time to take care of food.
Yeah.
And they're taking that time, and in order to make it last, they got to do something to it. Yeah.
And I think other than, the second word, rather, would be organic. And make sure it's organic. You know, I mean, if you can talk to because it can be organic all the way through the process of growing it from seeds on up. But if the soil's not organic, you know, if the soil and the water that's being used is got components in it, you know, I mean, there's plastics for one and everything from the air to the...
Well, they can't call it organic unless it has been pesticide-free for 3 years.
Well,
has been.
Yeah, well, then that's a good thing to look for. I mean, to make sure that when they say organic, that's what it is. I mean, let's say you've got this big, you know, field of lettuce, and it's all being prepared and process grown and then processed in an organic, you know, sense. But then you've got planes flying over dropping chemtrails. You know, who knows what's in those things? Well, we do know what's in those things, and it's not good. So anyway, I'm hoping that it seems that there's a kind of a big twist, or turn rather, going in this trend of people wanting to you know, eat more healthy. You know, so they're feeling better, so they're living longer, especially with the loved ones you have around your house. I mean, why would you want to give them something that's not going to be good for them?
And that's where we start in January. That's when you start to see all the shelves change. If you walk into Costco, that's what's up front. It's everything is healthy, it's organic, it's vitamins, because after Christmas, everybody's getting ready for swimsuit season. Yeah. So it starts now. I used to be a personal trainer. Yeah. In January, we would get a whole... That's when the clientele would start flooding in. Because
New Year's resolution?
New Year's resolutions, and everybody's looking for what's going to happen in the summer. And we mentioned this last year. Bobby Parrish. Mm-hmm. You look him up. That he has gone through a lot of these major stores, especially Costco. He's huge into Costco, and if it's Bobby approved, at whether it is truly organic, whether even if it is organic, is it truly grass fed? You know, there's multiple layers.
Okay. Well, now, explain to me, since you're the tech person. So Bobby approved, is that an app that you get?
Yes.
Okay, so let's say I pull up a can of sardines. Then I, how exactly do I put that together?
You pop open the app. So you download the app from your app store, and it's Bobby approved. And the label, the UPC label, the price code on the back, you can scan it. For several stores, Costco, Whole Foods, Aldi, Amazon, Walmart, Target, and then you scan it, and it will have his review of whether it is truly safe for your body.
No, you just said Aldi. Have you ever been to an Aldi?
I have not been to an
Aldi. You know what they are?
They are a store back east. We don't have them.
They're a German store.
Really?
All German. Yeah, I went to one when I was back in Tennessee a few weeks ago, and it was... It was totally cool. It reminded me of when I'm all the times I've been to Germany, and you see just all kinds of interesting different things. It's kind of locally, I would compare it to something like what Dan does with the grocery outlets. You know, he's got this, you know, you get these products in, and when they're in, they're there. When they're not, there's something else there. So they just kind of a wholesale, and you get great prices on those as well. You know, speaking of just healthy real quick, I got to have a shout out to Mom. Mom, I don't even know if Mom's listening, but Mom, if you are, that roasted vegetable soup you made today was great. You just took your, and this is a great way to do it. You get maybe a poultry stock and you roast off your vegetables, your peppers, your onions, whatever they are. And then you get that kind of umami flavor, you know, which is that savory flavor that you're looking for from the char. And then you just blend those, you know, to basically a puree, add them to your stock, and you've got this beautiful flavor. And she actually added some brown rice to it. But gosh, it came out great. So thanks, Mom. Thanks, Mom. Shout out to Mom. But again, I think you take these foods that are natural, that haven't been processed, and you just start getting creative with them. You know, learn, you know, the basic fundamentals. I know in the next segment we're going to talk about a basic fundamental of making a cream sauce. And once you get that one component down, then you can make so many other things with it. You know, but you have to know the techniques.
What are you going to put with that cream sauce? I heard something about salmon.
Oh, you can do anything with it. Yeah, well, we'll talk about that. But no, it's just trying to make that, you know, start from the very basics. It's like somebody saying, I make a great barbecue sauce, but I can't make tomato sauce. Well, tomato sauce comes from barbecue sauce. Other way around. Barbecue sauce, if you can't make a tomato sauce, you can't make a barbecue sauce, because barbecue sauce is tomato sauce with just, you know, mustard, red wine vinegar, and brown sugar added to it. You know, you take those three ingredients and add it to tomato sauce, and now you have barbecue sauce. You know, the challenge with the barbecue sauce now is there's so much, you know, high fructose corn syrup in it, which has got to be, I mean, if food had, like the most wanted posters, did they still have those in the post office?
I don't know. I don't go to the post office.
Ben, do they still have wanted posters up in the post office?
Yeah. I don't know about the post office, but I've seen them at Walmart.
At Walmart? Yeah, I can see that. Well, I seen a picture look just like you on the side of a carton of milk. And that worried me. But you're here today, so.
Oh, brother.
Yeah, so I don't feel quite, I was worried a little bit. But yeah, they should take and just say, okay, these things aren't good for you. You know, high fructose corn syrup. I mean, different things that you might see, and you just need to stay with ketchup is one. Now, you know, there's certain things I like ketchup on. I mean, I like a little bit of ketchup with my fries, but if you make one where you're able to control some of that sugar, because ketchup has so much sugar in it, and it's really got sodium too, because remember, sodium is what is the flavor enhancer that makes it addictive. Because it's that salt, but then they put so much sugar in it, you can't, it keeps it from being salty. Even though it's overly salted, the sugar counterbalances. It's kind of the theory behind Asian food. You know, your Asian sauces, your sweet and sour, your teriyaki, those kind of things, you know, only orange sauce, anything almost in an Asian restaurant, you know, you're pretty much up against that. So, anyway, just kind of keep an eye on it, folks. Look at the label and, you know, see what you got. And again, we'd really like, you know, people, if they have questions, and I do actually have a question, because that question, the cream sauce came from a question. But again, go to cookinglikeapro, podcast.net. You can type one in there if you don't like, if you don't want to call and you don't want to, you know, be on the air, then you can do that. But, you know, we're here to be able to answer questions as well. And if we can't answer it, then we'll probably just lie about it because obviously you don't know it. I can get a pretty good guess on pretty much most things. I've been blessed to have worked with some of the best in the world, and you kind of just gleam from being next to these amazing French chefs. So I was lucky in that. So we're going to take our last final break here, and then we'll come back. So we appreciate you tuning in. So back for another 13 minutes after this quick break, Cooking Like a Pro, back in just a moment.
Greens, potatoes, tomatoes, lamb, rams, hogs, dogs, chicken, turkeys, rabbits, you name it! God damn it!
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Redding.
Imagine a 34-year-old single mother leaving a full-time job to open a home care agency out of her dining room. Hi, this is Sharon Clark, CEO of Home Helpers, and what a ride it has been. I was proudly my agency's first caregiver in August of 2004. Since then, Home Helpers has supported 2,500 families, employed 1,300 caregivers, moved 3 offices, and won numerous awards. Personally, our staff provided services for my aging grandparents, allowing them to stay at home in their final years. Home Helpers continues to thrive as Reading's leader in home care. Thank you to our wonderful community for championing my vision so many years ago. Thank you to the dedicated caregivers, past and present, for your compassion and professionalism. And thank you to the families who entrusted us with caring for your loved ones. Our services range from meal preparation to bathing assistance to transitioning home from the hospital. Learn more at ReadingHomeHelpers.com. Life takes you to unexpected places. Love leads you home.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
Hey friends, RC here with Tobacco and Brew, bringing you this month's Cigar of the Humidor. Padron, 60th anniversary. My new personal favorite, starting with an exclusive Perfecto shape, handcrafted by one master roller, using only the finest tobaccos from Nicaragua. After 60 years of excellence, this cigar is Padron's masterpiece. Get yours today at Tobacco and Brew, Redding, California.
I'd love to be an Oscar Mayer wiener. That is what I truly like to be. 'Cause if I were an Oscar Mayer wiener, everyone would be in love with me.
All right, welcome back. Again, you are at Cooking Like a Pro, Chef Chow and Mrs. Chef. And just to finish up on that last segment, if you go to EWG.org, again, EWG.org, you can get a lot of information on what the FDA is doing with our food. One of the things I would recommend is go ahead and print out or save it on your screen, on your phone. They have the EWG's Dirty Dozen Guide. And these are 12 different things that you do not want on that label. And you can go through there, and it talks about the different dyes, sodium nitrate, of course, which is really almost, well, that's salt. That's what they use to cure or brine things. Titanium dioxide, BHA? And also BHT and potassium. Potassium's a carcinogen, but you want to just know that, you know, what is not good for you when you're doing that. Okay, so cedar plank salmon. All right, so I sanded down my cedar planks and, you know, cut them up in 8-inch pieces and then lightly oiled them, and then you cook those planks. So you got this cedar plank.
So first off, you went and got these from like Home Depot, just a package of cedar?
Yeah, of untreated cedar. Yes, you want untreated cedar. And I've had this on several of my restaurants that we ran this. And you just take a nice fillet. You want the fillet to be both boneless and skinless. You don't want any skin on there. You want that removed. And then you just spread a little bit of olive oil on the plank. You've set your salmon fillet. Remember, beef is fillet, F-I-L-E-T, like filet mignon, but a fish is fillet, F-I-L-L-E-T, two L's instead of one. So you take your salmon fillet and you set that on the cedar. I would recommend like setting the cedar on the barbecue first, just to kind of warm it up. You can do that in an oven.
Well, but how do you prepare the planks? So you pull them out of the box from Home Depot.
Yeah, you cut them in 8-inch pieces.
And then what do you do?
You sand them up, and then I barbecue them.
Can you sand them with just hand sandpaper, or do you need a rotary sander type thing? Or?
Oh, no, hand sandpaper would be fine. I actually used a rotary sander that I got from Dad because the planks I had had been used. They had been some adhesive on them. I wanted to make sure I got that off. But then a little bit of oil on there, just lightly oil the salmon. The salmon is sitting on this plank. Sprinkle it with some fresh minced shallots and some fresh chopped garlic and a little chopped parsley. A little secret salt. Remember, we use that secret salt. It goes in almost everything. That was, I would have to say the secret salt would be the one thing that I would contribute. My first restaurant, Di Mercurio's, being so successful. And I say that because, you know, your average, industry, standard is generally about 2% complaints. You know, so they'll be happy. So if it's a restaurant, they do 800 people at, you know, Olive Garden or something. Then they're happy with, you know, 2% complaints. Well, 800 people, that means that 16 people left unhappy. I know this because I had 13 complaints. And I know that because I wrote each person back a letter, you know, apologizing, you know, give them a gift card, come back in.
13 complaints over how long?
18 years.
Okay, so you're averaging one a year.
Yeah, no, less than one a year. But again, that was really that secret salt. You know, the two part salt, one part white pepper, one part granulated garlic. And it just puts that light layer of flavor on it. Everything got a light sprinkle. And it wasn't a seasoning you could see. But it just kind of enhanced and brought out the flavor of whatever you were cooking. I don't care whether it was veal or...
Colonel Sanders has his, you know, spices that goes at everything. You had your own.
Like 17 of them or something.
Yeah, so you had your own special spice that went on every single savory dish.
Yeah, you know, and I call it secret salt. I didn't call it that. Somebody kind of dubbed that for me. A friend of mine, Ted Bose, who was working with me for a while, a good friend, took some classes from me, and he goes, oh, that's secret salt. So anyway, the name stuck, and that was, I don't know, 3 decades ago. And then that's pretty it. So you're cooking this salmon, you're baking it in the oven. I would set it on a cookie sheet, but you're baking it in the oven on this, this grilled piece of cedar, and you just get that beautiful flavor.
Do you wrap it in parchment?
No, well, you can wrap it in papillette, like the French would call it, in that kind of paper, but we used to put it in a paper bag, like a little lunch sack. We put the plank and the salmon in the lunch sack, close the lunch sack with a, you know, like a wood laundry
clothespin.
Yeah. And then just bake it in the oven because, you know, the oven doesn't have open flame, right? It's just a box that's got flame underneath. So, you know, it's not going to catch on fire. And then I remember we pull it out, bring it out to the table, and when you pull the plank out of that paper in front of the guest, you just get that whiff of fresh salmon. It's oh, so good.
So how do you know that it's done? Because you can't see it because it's wrapped up.
Because it takes 7 to 8 minutes in a 500-degree oven. I mean, you just know from doing it how long it takes. Now, at home, I would go, you know, between 10 to 12 minutes in a 400-degree oven because that's going to give someone a little more time. But, you know, I mean, how thick is the salmon? Well, they're all going to be a little bit, you know, they could be a little bit different.
Can you do the touch test like you do meat, you know, especially if you're touching the paper, you can feel the tension under the paper.
Yeah. You don't want to go through the paper. I mean, you just know. You know, I mean, you know from doing it. You know, maybe the first time you're practicing, you're pulling it out and you're saying, wow, 400 degrees, it took exactly 11 minutes. Write that down and now you're set. You know, I just knew how long because I was cooking for just so many, you know, hundreds of thousands of meals over the decades. I knew how long it took.
How big of a piece of salmon is this? How many ounces is it?
About 6 to 7 ounces. The portions for entrees, proteins, are getting smaller. You know, it used to be you wanted a 10-ounce steak or an 8-ounce piece of chicken or maybe an 8-ounce piece of seafood, fish, fin fish, you know, maybe sole, halibut, salmon. And that was what people were eating. But now, you know, the portions are quite a bit smaller. One, the costs are, have gone up, you know, but I know that if we get a 8 ounce piece of fish that I cook at home, we split it. It's good enough for two of us. So, you know, that's going to depend on how much a person eats. But, you know, right now, a lot of the portions people are eating around 5 to 6 ounces of actual protein because they're adding a starch. Maybe it's a grain. That's a good way to go. With this particular recipe, a grain would be fantastic. I was talking to a chef friend of mine that's helped me with my cookbook, and, Chef Herb, and he sent me a really nice recipe on a tamarind rice. I think it was made with basmati or something. But any kind of a grain, couscous would be good. Polenta. I just made some polenta. That's a real simple. Those grains are all simple to make. Okay. Some things like barley or wild rice that take a long time to cook. But most of them are cooked real simple, real quick.
The polenta you made a couple nights ago, super creamy. Tell me exactly how you made that.
Well, I started with a stock, a poultry stock. I whisked in and you could just use a vegetable stock if you want to make a vegetarian. And then you just whisk your cornmeal into it.
How much?
It's going to be it's two parts water to one part polenta. If you want to make polenta that you can, like, roll up in plastic and cut into discs where it's real firm, and then you can grill that. A lot of people will do that with polenta. But if you want a creamy polenta, it's 3-to-1. So it's like one part. So let's say a part would be a cup. If it was one cup of polenta, it'd be 1-to-3. Then it'd be three parts stock. So it'd be 3 cups of stock. And that'd give you a creamy polenta. But also I added cream to that. And I added what was that white cheese that we had in there? That cheddar.
It was from Costco. It is called Coastal. No, cheddar.
Costco should be like a sponsor. We mentioned them way too much.
Costco and Trader Joe's.
Yeah. But it was great. So you want a little bit of cheese in there. Usually I'll use a blue vein cheese. A lot of them that I just love for different things. Gorgonzola, of course, is one of my favorite. Another blue vein cheese, Silton. Silton's great. And there's a variety of just blue cheeses. And remember, a blue cheese needs to be spelled B-L-E-U. Yes. If it's spelled blue, like the color blue, then, you know, who knows where it came from.
Maybe. Now, how much cheese did you put? So let's say you did a cup of the... Now, is it called polenta or is it called...
It's cornmeal.
Cornmeal.
It's when you make it, it's polenta.
Okay, so let's say you're doing a creamy polenta. You did 1 cup of cornmeal, let's say 3 cups of chicken stock. Mm-hmm. How much cheese? How much of that white cheddar cheese?
Yeah, maybe about 3 to 4 ounces. Then I use some secret salt, and that's all that I put in there. But, I mean, you could put any. You could put diced peppers. You could go nuts, you know, sautéed mushrooms. But, you know, we wanted something just kind of simple that was going with the fish we did.
Did you add the cheese while it was cooking or when you finished it after the cornmeal was cooked?
Once the cornmeal is cooked and only takes, you know, 4 or 5 minutes, you know, you take couscous, takes, you know, couscous cooks by itself. You throw it in the stock, you just cover it with plastic and set it aside, and the grains just absorb it, and you get something that's nice and tender. You just have to, you know, fork it, you know, to get it back to being tender. But no, it just takes about, you know, again, 4 or 5 minutes, and then just add the cream, heavy cream, and some cheese to it. You know, it's
just
probably
a couple ounces of cream.
Yeah, I think I had 2 ounces of cream, about 4 ounces of cheese. But, you know, again, now if you want to go healthy, don't add cream. Don't add cheese. It's still going to be a nice soft polenta. Maybe not be creamy. Or you could use a different type of cream. You could use, you know, or you could just use milk. Maybe use a different kind of milk. Use an almond milk. You know, I mean, that's up to you and whatever it is that you want to finally come out. But anyway, cedar plank salmon. A great dish, we're running up against the clock, so cream sauce, I'm going to have to talk about that next week. So, Krista, I'm sorry for the question that came in that I didn't get to it, but we will get to it then. But we do, again, appreciate you tuning in and listening to us ramble and talk about food. I really enjoy this. We've been getting closer on the cookbook. I'm thinking that we're looking at, I don't know, maybe April, somewhere around there. It takes two months in production time.
And the vegetable booklet I just finished last night, so I'll be wrapping it up and getting that on the website.
Yeah, and they'll be able to get that on the website.
Yes.
And they can go to all kinds of places to get that.
All right. So if you want to hear any of our previous shows, you can look for the Cooking Like a Pro podcast on Apple and Spotify.
Yeah. And what that is that's our entire show with the commercials cut out. So it's quite a bit shorter. What is it, around 48 to 50 minutes?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
Yeah. And again, so if you want to hear any previous shows, you can do that. I think we have about 30 of them now. And again, don't forget to make a difference in someone else's day. And by taking the word random out of the phrase random acts of kindness. Let's be intentional about helping people. Folks, hope you're having a great new year at the start here. God bless you, and we will see you next time on Cooking Like a Pro.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.